find Genesis chapter number 12 in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 12 in the Old Testament. And then turn over in your New Testament to the book of Matthew and Matthew chapter 20. And if you can find Matthew chapter 20 and hold one finger there in Genesis chapter 12, we're going to read Genesis chapter 12 first. I want to begin reading verse number 1 in this passage of Scripture. The Lord said to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." If you mark your Bible, if you've not already marked several places in that verse, in this passage I just read, look at chapter 12, verse 2 of Genesis, and look at the last phrase in verse 2. Thou shalt be a blessing. Thou shalt be a blessing. Now turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 20. Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" And she said unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said unto him, "We are able." And he said unto them, "You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." Notice he said this. When they said that, and when the 10 heard it, that is the other disciple, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it is not to be so among you. But whoso will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to minister, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom." Notice the irony of this. He said, those who want to be great, he said this, verse 26, "But it shall be not so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." And the word minister here means servant. Be servant. Now, turn over to the book of Mark. I said I'd have you read one other passage with me. Go to the book of Mark, chapter number 9. And if you will listen fast, I'll preach fast, and I hope God will speak to our hearts. In the book of Mark, look at chapter number 9. I'll call your attention to verse number 33. This is a completely different scenario. And it came, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" And they held their peace. But by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Now, the formula for being first is unique. And it's given to us in that verse. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and shall be servant of all. He said the same thing in the book of Matthew. Will you bow with me once again for prayer just briefly? Heavenly Father, God, I pray, God, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. And God, I believe with all my heart, God, you spoke to my heart about this truth. God, you make it real in our hearts and in our lives now. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you think about graduation, you think about people accomplishing things as our kindergartners and as our high school, as Aaron in high school and the college graduates, the Bible Institute. People have achieved something. They've gotten somewhere. And in our society today, there is this idea of being the number one. I want to be the baddest man on the planet. I want to be this. I want to be that. I'm going to be number one. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on being first without being number one. You can be first without being number one. You see, the Bible gives us a great contrast in the world's thinking. The world talks about people achieving and being better and superior and so on than anybody else. And with that comes a certain attitude. But the Word of God teaches a principle contrary to that. And that is this. You and I, my dear friends, you go through the Word of God, you'll find that the Word of God has much to say about accomplishment without arrogance, proficiency without pride, holiness without self-righteousness, blessing without boasting, work ethic without worshiping work, and charity without being demeaning. The Word of God teaches us that you and I ought to give our all for Christ. But my dear friend, there's a vast difference in what the Word of God teaches about excellence than what individuals teach and what they preach about being number one. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on this thought, on being first without being number one. In the first place, I want to suggest to you, in regard to your relationship with the Lord, you ought to consider being first, but not number one. I'm talking about this area of your life, your desire, your motivation, and your attitude. God would have you to seek the kingdom of God first and to be first in that regard, but not number one. There are some people, my dear friend, who serve and have come to a certain place in their ministry. They may be a singer, they may be a preacher, they may be a Sunday school teacher, they may have in their own workplace, they've got the study of the Word of God, and without the grace of God and without the presence of God, if you're not careful, you'll develop an idea of being superior or being more mature or knowing more or being a better singer or being a better preacher or being a better teacher. But my dear friend, the Word of God teaches that you and I should be first, but not number one. Not number one. You and I ought to do our best. And when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to worshiping Him, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Turn over to the book of Colossians, if you will, please. Colossians chapter 3. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, I want you to look at this passage of Scripture and listen to what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Colossae in this regard. In chapter 3, verse 12, he says this, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you're called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is the will of God. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, for which not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. I'm telling you, the Word of God teaches this principle that you ought to be first, but not number one. You ought to accomplish and surrender and yield and serve and worship and seek God with all of your heart. You ought to give your life to Him. And you ought to seek Him. He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added unto you. My dear friend, as you seek the Lord, you ought to give him all of your heart. You ought to seek him with all of your heart. You ought to seek the Lord. And you ought to be first in this area of seeking the Lord. You ought to be first. That ought to be a priority in your life. My dear friend, to be first. But don't let the devil deceive you into you having an attitude of superiority or being better than anybody else or more surrendered than anybody else or more dedicated than anybody else in your own mind. My dear friend, God would have you to seek him first. That ought to be the primary desire of your heart, is to be in fellowship with him and close to him. But then let me say this. You ought to be first in this regard, and that is how you treat the brethren. I read that lengthy passage there that deals with our relationship one with another. But go over to the book of Romans and let me reiterate, as Paul does as he writes to the church at Rome, the same truth. In Romans, if you will, please, in chapter 12 and verse 9. Listen to what it says here. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, and in honor preferring one another. That's putting other people before yourself. That's wanting other people to recognize before you're recognized. That's not being number one, that's being first. Notice it says this, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You ought to be first in this area of how you treat people. How you deal with him. You ought to be first, but not number one. You ought to be first in love. He said you ought to love in deed and not in word. You ought to love first. Before anybody loves you, you'll love them. They don't know you. You may meet people you don't know, but God can give you in your heart a love for them. When people enter this building and they come in, you ought to be the first to greet them. Don't wait for somebody to speak to you. You speak to them. You ought to be first, but not number one. You ought to be first in letting people know you care about them. Let you be first in showing your love. You be first in your exhorting one another and encouraging one another. You ought to be first in your giving. You ought to be first in your forgiving. You ought to be the one who takes the initiative to make contact, to be the one who shows love. You be first. Don't wait for somebody. Don't sit around and say, you know, nobody spoke to me. You speak to everybody in this building before you leave. You greet everybody in this building before you leave. My dear friend, you ought to be first, but not number one. He encourages us in our treatment of others to be first, to first to show love, first to share and give, first to demonstrate the love of Christ, first to forgive. Don't wait for them to do something. You forgive. You ought to be first, but not number one. Then I want to say this to you. In the idea of your Christian service and in evangelism, you ought to be first, not number one. You ought to be first in the area of evangelism in regard to your desire. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that for Israel that they might be saved. First, Paul's desire, the first thing in his heart was this idea that God's people, Israel, would be saved, that they'd come into relationship with Jehovah God. My dear friend, you say, well, nobody won't come. You ought to go. Said, nobody gets saved, you ought to witness. Nobody wants to pray, well, you ought to pray for them. My dear friend, listen, you ought to be first, but not number one. Not with a spirit of arrogance, not with a spirit of superiority. You ought to be first with a burden of zeal. The Word of God never teaches for lost people to come to the house of God. It said we ought to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You ought to be first in your desire to see people saved. You ought to be first in your devotion to prayer. Paul said, first of all, prayer, supplication, giving of thanks be made for all men. You and I, my dear friend, ought to be first to pray for them. I mean, everybody wants people to pray for them. Everybody wants to have people be concerned about them. But you ought to be first. I mean, you ought to pray for people. They ought not have to ask you to pray for them. You ought to bathe your brothers and sisters in the Lord, your community, your school, your place of work. You ought to take the initiative. You ought to be first in prayer, but not proudful of your prayer life. You ought to be first, my dear friend. Nobody, listen, you ought to pray for people. They ought not to even have to ask you. I'm thankful when people ask for prayer. But I'm also sometimes very humbled because I realize how busy I've been and I didn't pray for somebody. They ought not to have to ask us. We ought to be first in this area of prayer. It ought to be our desire, as Paul was, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. It is ought to be our heart's desire that people be saved, that people get right with God. And our devotion and prayer ought to be first. And then our delivery of the gospel ought to be first. Go into all the world and preach the gospel first. It ought to be our desire to get the gospel to people and share the word of God. I'm bad to complain about traffic. I mean, I go to Chapel Hill and there's people everywhere. And you can go through Fuquay at a certain time of the day and it's just like downtown Raleigh in Fuquay now. 42, I hate going around 42, around 4:30, 5:30, 6:30. Now, it's just so many people. And I was coming through Raleigh the other day, and it was just bumper to bumper, and I'd been to Chapel Hill and spent some time over there, and I'm working my way back in traffic. And I was thinking about all of these people. I said, there's just too many people here, just too many people in Raleigh, and I know it's going to get worse and worse. And all of a sudden, a thought came across my heart. If half of these people die and go to hell, that's a lot of people. I'd been complaining about them, but I had no concern for them. If only half of the people that you in rush hour traffic with die and burn in hell for all eternity, what an awful thing that would be. But I'm afraid the percentage is far higher than that. And you ought to be first. They don't care a thing about the Word of God, many of them. They don't care a thing about evangelism. They don't care a thing about dying. And they don't care a thing about the Word of God. But you ought to be first. I mean, you're the one who ought to take the initiative. You're the one who ought to bathe them in prayer. You're the one who ought to have a strong desire for them to be in heaven. Before they'll ever want to go to heaven, you ought to have that desire for them. You ought to be devoted in prayer and your delivery of the gospel in any way you can. To get the gospel to them, a CD, a tract, a personal witness, any way you can to get the word of God to them, not only in any kind of way you can, but in any kind of time you can. It ought to be our hearts as our first. Our priority is that we see people saved. Be first in that, not arrogant, not boastful. And I'm afraid that there's been times, Brother Garrett know what I'm talking about, when I was in Bible college at Tennessee Temple University. It was a great school, great church. Dr. Lee Robertson, at that time, it was just booming. I mean, we had about 4,000 students, have about 5,000 on Sunday for church. And it was great, and souls were being saved. But I even sometimes, myself and others, we'd heard so much about soul winning, heard so much about witnessing, that it got to be almost a competition. I remember I was working for the visitation department at Highland Baptist Church one time, Highland Park Baptist Church, and we lived right there, right close to the church, and there were some students doing some work, and one of the guys was in a class with me, and he knew I'd been out visiting and knocking on doors and soul winning, and I came back in, and he said, did you win anybody to God? And I said, no. I said, nobody got saved today. He said, well, maybe tomorrow I'll go with you and show you how it's done. And I thought to myself, I went inside and I thought about that. You know, what? God help us to be first, but not to be number one. Not to have an arrogance about our witness, and not wanting to notch our gun about how many people we witness to, or how many tracts we give out, and how many times we see somebody say. You ought to be first. First to love, first to weep, first to witness, but not number one. Not having a desire. My dear friend, listen, to just have recognition. He said to Abraham, I'm going to do all these things for you, but I will make you a blessing. My dear friend, You ought to want more than the blessings of God to be a blessing. You ought to want to be number one in your service of your brethren. You ought to be number one in trying to help people. But my dear friend, be first to do those things. Not recognized as the greatest. They argued back and forth about who would be the greatest. My dear friend, listen, that's this attitude, I'm going to be number one. But for God's people, it's not like that at all. You and I ought to serve the Lord. We ought to be faithful to the Lord. There's two scenarios that take place in the Bible that I want to just share this with you kind of in closing. The disciples were always asking, who's going to be the greatest? And matter of fact, they came to the Lord one day and they said, Lord, we have forsaken all to follow thee. And then their attitude was this, now what are we going to get in return? We've done all of this, now what are we going to get in return? They missed it completely. Jesus came to minister, not to be ministered unto. He came to be a servant. He told them, if you want to be the greatest, you be servant of everybody. You do what God would have you to do. And then there's Paul. I think about Paul's life and about what Paul said and how Paul's life was exemplified in the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, Paul shares this in verse 7 of chapter 3 of Philippians. But what things were gained to me, I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already obtained, even or already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, mature, be thus minded, and if anything ye have otherwise minded, God will reveal it unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Paul said this. Paul said, yeah, I've given up a few things, but it doesn't mean anything to me. He said, my desire is to honor Christ. I want him to get the glory. I want to walk with him and fellowship with him. My dear friend, as a Christian, you ought to be first, but not number one. Nobody should praise the Lord more passionately. Nobody should pray more fervently. Nobody should serve more tirelessly. No one should give more sacrificially. No one should love more deeply, follow more closely, live more surrendered, trust him more fully, study more thoroughly, witness with more urgency, or long to see him more sincerely than you. That'll be our life. But it has to be with this spirit, this attitude, that we want to be the very best for him. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. But don't ever have this attitude, I want to be number one. I want to be number one. It brings with it a spirit of arrogance. It takes all the glory away from him. But my dear friend, you ought to be first, but not number one. Let's bow together for just a word of prayer. With our heads bowed, eyes are closed. I pray God to make the little truth real to you. He spoke to my heart this week. You ought to want to be first to love, first to give, first to forgive. You ought to be first in the area of evangelism, in your desire and in your prayer and in your witness. You ought to just want to give everything you've got to him, surrender all to him. But I pray God would help every one of us not to have any of that attitude that we're number one. I want God to bless this church. My prayers, and God has been good to us. We've seen him do great things. But my dear friend, I want us to be the first to love, the first to give, the first to honor Him and seek Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And that when people come by and they say, wow, all the folk there at Benson Grove, y'all sure have worked hard. You sure have accomplished a lot. We honestly, sincerely could say, not us, but Him. He's a great God. God's done great things. He has blessed us, and therefore, as He said to Abraham, I'll make you a blessing. In your personal life, you ought to honor Him and do your very best for Him. You ought to want to be first, but not number one. Don't worry about who's the greatest, the best singer, the best preacher, the best teacher. We ought to want to be our best for Him, but that doesn't ever enter into the picture for us. It's all about Him. If we were concerned about others as we are about ourselves, our comfort, our position, our provision, our treasures, if we're concerned about other people as much as we're concerned about ourselves, what a blessing. You and I ought to love others, honor Christ, and be first. Our Heavenly Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost this morning will take the music, the message, speak to hearts. God, I don't know exactly what people are supposed to do, but I know what You spoke to my heart about. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, You gave them the same truth You gave me. We all love You, give You our all, serve You humbly, faithfully. God, to be first, but never desire to be number one. And God, we'll thank You and praise You.